this afternoon, rather. We're coming from Matthew, the sixth chapter. And when we say that, it's sometimes we think in a fragmented sense when we look at the scripture, because it is divided. It was not divided when it was originally written or sent out and so forth. But when we look at it, that's to help us kind of go and look and say, okay, in this chapter, so we can, I guess, like, readily find it, easily find it, and so forth. But when we look at the sixth chapter, what we want to remember or not forget is what we were looking at, and what is entitled or sectioned off as the fifth chapter. Last week, Tim was coming forth and he was just talking about the things, what some people, well, last week and actually the previous week, because he did it in halves, talking about the fifth chapter, what so many people call the Beatitudes. Not necessarily that it's just an attitude to have, but a way of life and a proper perspective. And so when I was like, okay, when I come before, I said, we need to really make that connection. To whom was Jesus speaking when we look at this particular sixth chapter? The same people that he was talking to. The people to whom he was, that he was addressing or speaking to, they were, let's say, the multitudes, if you will. When we look at how Matthew seems to be delineating or expounding or giving out the word of God, he showed us how important he is. Or he tried to give us words to help us to understand this is not just any man. This man has been prophesied about. This man has come through the loins of David. This is the king that we're talking about. So we're looking at when Jesus began to talk to the multitudes to help them understand that there is a distinction between what you have seen and these religious folk around here. Let's name some of those religious folk that were, let's say, walking the face of the earth in Palestine. You had some Sadducees. The Sadducees was a sect that believed in their own way. They didn't believe in the resurrection or the spirit and so forth, but they were religious people. They often showed great affinity or allegiance to Rome. And so there was another group, and the group was the Pharisees. And the Pharisees had written many different things because they wanted to keep that will of God. But they added so many things to it. So you had another group, and they didn't always agree. But one thing we find as we continue to go on in the scriptures is, and we most of us, I think, know this, is that they was agreed upon the fact that they didn't like Jesus coming in and disturbing their so-called, let's see if you will, set up policies or their so-called set up norms for the people to recognize. They didn't like that. There were some other ones, but those two are the ones that we kind of think about the most. Scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, you got Herodians and so forth. But Jesus, in addressing the people, he's talking to a people who were quite used to what the Sadducees expected and the Pharisees expected. And so Jesus was giving a message. He said, this is the proper perspective that you should have. And I'm speaking with words from my Father. So he picks back up, and I would title this, what's your intention? Because sometimes when we go and we look at this, it's like, okay, Jesus says some wonderful things, and that makes some wonderful proverbs, and that's exactly what sometimes some different parts of society will do. That good man, that good prophet, he said some good things. Let's borrow it and keep it. But no, he was not just a prophet. Moses talked about another prophet coming, but he was more than that. So Jesus, again, is still dealing with how we are to see ourselves, and he's making the distinction between those who were in authority, religiously speaking, and he's talking about this is how we need to look at life. Let's just, before I go into the sixth chapter, Jesus, when we say, what's your intention? Jesus, and when we look at the fifth chapter, he had said something along the fact, because Jesus cut straight down to the point in the matter of life and went to the heart of the matter, or he went to the heart of people. He said, you know what? If a man looks at a woman, and he desires her, though he has not touched her physically, he has already committed adultery in his heart. So Jesus says, what's your intention? Jesus is just going to bring that up a little bit close. And he was telling him, he said, you are the light of the world. As I speak to your multitude, as this multitude, and you're hearing my words, I'm not just any man. I'm giving you the words from my Father, and they are life. You are not to live like the examples that you see in the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all these other people with strange ideologies and philosophies around here. I'm giving you the truth. This is going to make you different. This is going to cause you to suffer. So we pick back up in the sixth chapter. Now, what we want to understand is something about some of those religious leaders. We talked about the Pharisees. The Pharisees had gotten such to the point that they wanted the honor of men. If you were to go back and look historically a little bit at how they started out, in the beginning, it seems that they really were sincere and wanted to please God, but they began to add to the scriptures what God had not put. Paul says in one place, any man that's going to add to this, let him be accursed. And they had done that. Lord have mercy. But those Pharisees, they wanted to be seen of men because they wanted honor, clout, and power. So there were certain things that they liked to do. And Jesus is going to address them. Almsgiving. It's like really big on almsgiving. We give this charity, if you will. Praying. When we pray, there's a certain way we want to pray because we want to be recognized. And then the other one, let's see what it is over here. It's fasting. So Jesus is going to touch on some things that as we read, it's just like, okay, he's talking about this. But in the minds of the people that hear it, they make a connection to what has been going on in their lives and what they see often. The first verse of the sixth chapter reads as follows. Take heed that you do not alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Jesus says, I'm giving you a warning. This is what you have seen as a common practice in these religious leaders. It did not say that, but when Jesus begins to talk to them, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What you see that's supposed to be a truth in other people, that is false. Don't get caught up in the false way of living. So somebody says, I am a Sadducee or a Pharisee, and I've got the word of truth for you. When truth is mixed up with false, you better separate yourself from it and understand that we need to hold on to the word of God. Jesus says, warning, don't, when you decide to be charitable, give so that you may be seen of men. And I was thinking this word kept coming up, and I was looking in two or three different commentaries, and the word was ostentation. And I heard it before, but it just didn't ring a bell. Okay, I think I know what it means by context clues. So I went and I looked it up, and it says, for a show, that you might be seen. The very thing that Jesus is talking about right here. There's many people in, let's say, modern Christendom today, and they do things because they want to be seen. You see what the problem is if you see me and you think I'm doing right, when I get by myself, I feel better because my reputation above it to everybody else, it's like they think I'm doing right. And when you keep practicing that kind of stuff, you start believing that you're right and rationalize. It is human nature to rationalize and justify. The Bible says, woe to that man who thinks that what he does is right. The Bible says that God said, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And we better stick to the one who created heaven and earth. If we're not spending time in God's word, you and I ought to be spending time in God's word. We are to think and meditate on his word. When you and I not spend the time in God's word, watch out, because we make space for iniquity and evil to set up in our hearts. We make space for iniquity and evil to set up in our hearts because there are certain things that you and I want to do. Lord have mercy. Jesus gave him a warning. Don't let your arms be before men. What's your intent when you're trying to help somebody? Lord have mercy. If your intent is to help them and help them, whether it's spiritually, whether it's economically, there is a certain way by which we as true Christians are to do this. And it ought to have behind it the heart that God loves you, I love you, and I'm trying to help you out, but I've got a drink of water for you, and his name is Jesus. Lord have mercy. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward. So you see, when the Pharisees would help people, they wanted to be seen. And so Jesus goes on and says, that's all they get is the glance from others. There is nothing eternal about being seen for doing what we say is good. If you do it for the Father and you're looking to feed the soul of man, Jesus feeds the people. When we look in the book of John, he was feeding a multitude of people, and it said the people followed him because of the many miracles that he did. In other words, they wanted some food. They wanted to be healed of sickness, and there is nothing wrong with that. But Jesus said, when I came or when I come for them that are sick. He was not talking about a physical man. He was talking about the spiritual man. Many of us are leprous. We got sin on our lives. And Jesus said, you are clean by the words that I have spoken to you.
We need to lift up the word of God. Yeah. Let it be sunk down in our hearts so that we can be clean, because Jesus came for those who had sin in their lives. And how many of you know it affects all of us?
It does.
It affects all of us.
Yes, Lord.
We need to be washed by the word.
Yes,
I think it's Psalm 119, 114. I get them confused. It says, wherewithal shall a 119th ninth verse? Shall a young man, shall an old man, shall a young woman, shall an old woman, shall creation that I have created, where is it going to clean itself? It's by taking heed to the word of God. And Jesus gives us the right way to live, the right way to think. Lord have mercy, the Pharisees were looking out for themselves. They have no reward. There's rewards for those of us who live eternal life. If there weren't, would you live? Would you be trying to please God? You see, the Bible sometimes calls it recompense. It's like a result, the end, that fruit. What are we striving for? Lord have mercy. The second verse, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Jesus is going further on, and he's still attacking the problem. I say he's still attacking the problem. Now, some commentators believe that there was an actual trumpet that was sounding in the synagogues, but when you look at a lot of Jewish history, you don't see that as such as a practice for giving so forth, that is a trumpet's going to be sounded. One other piece of information that I looked at, it said that it was possible that there was a horn-shaped type thing used for sometimes a collection. But the point is, even beyond those two different thoughts, is that the trumpet sounds out to get everyone's attention. Your and I, mine and your, everything that we do, say, and think should be wrapped up as, does this please God? Mm-hmm. Now, some people will say, you mean I got to think every minute of the day? What does God want me to do? Well, if you really think about it, yes. But Jesus is not saying that you got to say, okay, well, what color, what kind of lotion should I put on? Should I put on mellow smelling lotion, or should I put on a guava smelling? He's not talking about that. He is talking about the things of life. Lord have mercy. Jesus didn't come to talk about snap, crackle, and pop. He come to talk about sin. He come to talk about salvation. People say silly things like that. They let you know how much they don't spend with looking at this or where their heart is. I say many of them. Some of them might just be speaking what they learned and thought to be true. They were a hypocrite. When you look at the Greek word, I don't remember what it is, but I can tell you something about it. The Greek word, it referred to, that word hypocrite, it referred to when the Greeks, they would have these amphitheaters, if you will, and many people would go in and fill these things almost like a stadium, and they would have men up there, and they would be acting, and they would have masks on. They would put masks on, and so they were a part of a group, if you will, and they would put on plays or dramas. And Jesus is taking that word, and he's using it to say, you know what, some of these people put on masks, these religious people put on masks, and they make themselves appear one way, but beneath the mask, something else is there, and it's ugly, but they got a portrayal that they're presenting themselves one way, just like on stage.
Amen.
Now, Jesus said one thing, when we look in the fifth chapter, I think it's the 16th verse, he said, let your light so shine. So it's not that we're not to be seen, because we will be seen. As a matter of fact, he requires that people see us. But those works are to be done out of an intent to please God, not for show, because there is no reward in that. So much that we have to see. I think about it. Seventh chapter. Somebody's going to hopefully be speaking on that in the future, right? The seventh chapter, Jesus condemns some people. He said, many gonna say in the last day, Lord, Lord, then we prophesy in your name. In other words, it's like sometimes people, when they trying to understand, I say, well, how do I know how I'm supposed to live? How do I know if I'm supposed to give or not give? What is Jesus saying? He's not saying that sometimes you can't do something for someone and it be known about, but he's saying if the intent is to create a show and for you to get the glory, that is wrong. The word for hypocrite is Hippocrates. So thanks, Tim, for finding that. Hypocrisy. But that's the hypocrite. And Jesus took it and he said, in other words, You people who are listening to me out here in, amongst these mountains, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm making a distinction. Your life is to be true. You're gonna, he didn't say this right here, but you're gonna see me die one day. Mm. And I'm gonna rise again. And everything that I've said, or much of what I said, should come back. If you haven't thought about it, and resonate in your heart, when I defeat, through the Holy Spirit and my Father, death, hell, and the grave, when I've said it ought to have great significance to you, why not listen to me now? Mm. There are many different stories, even in medieval times, where they talk, they want to sit around a sage, or they'll go to a king or something, and they'll want to live by the words that he speaks. Jesus is speaking here. He's more than a Pharisee. He's more than a Sadducee. He's more than a prophet. He is the Son of the living God. And when he was speaking, he wanted the people to take hold of his word. Lord have mercy. What's our purpose here? And what's our intention? Because those Pharisees up in the street so they could be seen of men. Truly, Jesus says, I say it to you, they have their reward. That's it. Once they close their eyes and take their last breath, all the giving that they did, all the speaking that they did, it does not amount to a hill of beans. You have death, hell, and the grave because you were seeking to please yourself and get honor from men. Jesus came, he said, it's my meat, my food, is to do the will of my Father. Wish you in my will. Jesus wants us to let go of sin in our life. Yes. There's some things that we like to do. Jesus wants us to let go of it. You see why you're talking about that? The Pharisees undergo. In the book of John, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the eyes and the flesh and the pride of life, all those things are going to pass away. They loved the world and the system of the world. And they needed to be praised, they felt. But if they could have got hold of sweet Jesus and listened to him, he could have delivered them. But they got their reward, and it was death. Third verse. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, while looking at one person said, you know, that means you do it so quick and that you want to do it so readily that your other hand don't do it. Now, it is a figurative speech. But I was like, what? That sounds a little weak to me. Another one was speaking and said, for instance, if you're walking by, let's say the Pharisee was walking by, or let's say someone who was inclined to do good without show. You'll say, for instance, your right hand, give it, and it's such an inconspicuous. Inconspicuous means it doesn't have to be a show that you're trying to help someone. God is going to reward that. Your left hand don't know what your right hand doing. In other words, your intent is not to gain glory. Your intent is to really help somebody. Sometimes you and I need to be, we need to be able to help somebody. If we've had the wrong intent because we thought the bishop somebody, a cousin somebody, or whoever was going to see us, and it made us feel good after that. What? Nothing. A big fat nothing. But when you do it with the love of God in your heart, and everybody don't have to know, don't you know that Jesus, who sits up high, he looks down and he smiles on that. Hey. Lord have mercy.
Big fat nothing.
That's it. That's it. God. See, the perspective here, it's like a contrast almost between the Pharisees. But it gets deeper than that. Because when we finish with the sixth chapter, Jesus is not through speaking. What's the intent that we have living daily? Lord, have mercy. So when you do your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. In other words, it is a special something that God is placing your heart to do. And thy Father would see thee in secret, that you're doing this not for show. Himself, he will reward you openly. Sometimes you might not even know why you're being blessed, but if you know you're walking with God, you know he's taking care of you. Because as we continue to go through the scriptures, we're going to see that Jesus is talking about God who wants to take care of you and my needs.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord have mercy. What's the contrast here? One who does it for the show of me, that's all he gets. That reward, recognition, boom, it's gone. But when you do it with the right heart, with the right intention, loving God, and loving this person and wanting to help them, God is the one who gives a reward that goes beyond the moment. It doesn't say he can bless you in secret if he wants to, but what this is saying right here is he can bless you, and you know what? Sometimes people will want to ask you about it. That's your opportunity, Lord have mercy, to sow a sweet seed. intercede for Jesus. I can't do this by myself. Jesus gave me the strength to do it. Once I was lost, but now I'm fine. I found I was blind, but now I see. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. You see, we ought to have a testimony, and your testimony doesn't have to sound like somebody else's. I don't think there's wrong, anything wrong with giving testimony, but sometimes it seems like what you see sometimes on TV is like they got a competition. Who's got the best testimony from where they came? Who cares about that? Thank God for salvation and glory. You ought to have a testimony that he took lying out of your heart. You ought to have a testimony that he stopped you from stealing. You ought to have a testimony that he took you from walking over there to that man's house or to that lady's house. He stopped you from cheating on tests. Lord, he washed your heart and made it whiter than snow because you're sat down at the master's table. He said, come, let us reason together. I can make you white as snow, so your intention will be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Yes, sir. This is so good.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus trying to teach proper perception, perception, perspective. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
What's our intent, y'all? What's our intent coming out Sunday after Sunday? Is it to make Tim feel better?
No.
That's nice, but it ain't got nothing to do with Tim. Is it because you like you feel guilty if you don't come? Maybe that's good, but it ought to be more than that. It becomes the fact that we ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. When we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll end up like the Pharisee. We'll have a show of godliness, but we won't have any power.
Lord Jesus.
Let's go to the fifth verse. This is as we talked about. The Pharisees, they want a show. And those three things that we mentioned prior to really beginning were some of the main things that they did for a show. So we embark upon the phenomena, if you will, or the activity of prayer. Now I'm going to ask a question, and you don't raise your hand. But how many of us pray daily? Don't raise your hand. How many of us pray daily? I close my eyes. How many of us really go to God in prayer? Before we go into delineating or talking, expounding about these scriptures, let's remember where we were a while back when there was a lady. And she was the wife of someone, and he had another wife, and that other wife made fun of her because she was barren and didn't have any children. This lady had a need. We sang, is there anyone that can help us? Do you go to God every day and talk to him like daddy? Do you go to him like father? If not Gary, if not Seeking Truth, we need to seek God as the one who loves us, the one who created heaven and earth. Now we're talking about someone, in retrospect, in the scriptures, who wanted a child. I don't think she wanted a child just so the other lady would hush her mouth, even though she wanted to hush her mouth, but she went to God. I can't tell you how many years it was, but it was year after year that she went to God looking for an answer. Sometimes we go to God and we give up and we think he's not going to answer. Now let me tell you something. We're not talking about a prosperity prayer and that God is a genie and you ask and he gives like that. That's not what we're talking about. Because when you're connected to the vine, you don't ask the vine to deliver a fruit that it's not supposed to bring. So we keep the will of the Father in mind. And so Hannah, when she prayed with her heart to one who she trusted. And God blessed her. And let's look at what Jesus says about prayer. That's just one example. Matthew's going to do it with some prayer later on. But let's look at this, the fifth verse. Jesus teaching on prayer. And when thou prayest, he's still talking to that multitude. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite. Those actors who put the mask on their face to conceal something that's really true, but it's not true. They got a different reality. This system and this world is so big on reality shows right now. Some people believe them, and these people up there in these offices making money and laughing at us because of the stupid society is just totally believing all this stuff. Jesus says there's a different reality. The reality is found in my word. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, the double-faced people. presenting one thing and living another. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the street. This the second time it looked like he mentioned the streets here. In other words, when they give, they're giving in the street. When they pray, they're standing up out in the street, just saying words over and over and over and over, thinking it's going to bring about some kind of deliverance from God. Brings the condemnation that they already have because the heart is wicked. Listen to this. They say they stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Jesus says, truly, now listen to me. Truly, I'm saying unto you, they have their reward. Now, when we come together, Jesus is not condemning praying when we come together. He's not doing this. The thing that we're to look at is, what is the intent? What are we really trying to do? I pray better than somebody else. So what? How's your life? Ain't about praying better than somebody. Paul said one time, when he was writing to the Corinthians, he said, I'll come to you with excellency of speech. I come and I preach the word of God. And I preach Christ crucified. Getting down to the essence of things here.
That's right.
It's not about how you pray, Jesus was letting them know. It says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now I want to go back for a minute, so we're going to come back to this. As I was studying, I was looking, and it was like, Jesus, you remember when we were studying in the Kings, right? Y'all remember the Kings?
Yeah.
Yes, we remember the Kings.
Yes, sir.
Those people who were supposed to be witnessing how Israel lived to see how their God take care of them, they were supposed to see how Israel lived and how they adhered to the word of God. But the converse happened. The converse happened in that the Israelites would often follow other nations. And they would start going up into the groves and to the high places and so forth and start worshiping other gods. The text right here is speaking that Israel often would do as other pagan nations did. When they would go to pray to these other gods and so forth, they would often repeat and repeat and repeat. Example, we went through Ephesians about a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago. And we talked about, y'all remember the Temple of Diana?
Yeah.
I was reading one thing, and it had an account of where some people in Ephesus went to the Temple of Diana, and over, I can't remember if it was longer than an hour, said, great is Diana, great is Diana, great is Diana, as if to summons the spirit or the presence of Diana. There was a pagan type worship. What was the point? Jesus was saying, this is what you sing, this is what I'm telling you to do. Don't be like the pagan nations that when you repeat, you have just picked up some ritual, something like the other nations. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Lord have mercy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, make another point. In Hebrew, often you will see repetition. So Jesus again is talking about the intent. Was it for show? But when Jesus often would repeat something, or when we see in the Hebrew scriptures or Aramaic scriptures, we see something that's repeated for emphasis. Pay attention, or to show a certain type of intensity or emotion. That's not what the purpose was in praying. So Jesus goes on to say, when you pray, first of all, you want to do this in secret. Now, some people say, well, maybe it is a real closet. Some people say maybe it's the upper room because the houses was flat. It could be maybe some of that. But Jesus is trying to get them to see that sometimes we used to sing that song, you need to steal away. Remember that? Steal away to Jesus. Sometimes I wonder, what in the world does that song got to do anything? But I go back to slavery, I think, with some of that. But steal away. Jesus often, you made a reference to this before we started. We're going away into the mountains. Don't you remember we was in the fourth chapter of Matthew, and it said he was up there in the mountain or the wilderness for 40 days being tempted? Lord have mercy. It talks about how the angels came in and ministered to him. Lord have mercy. We need to see Jesus, not just for a show, not just when we, if all we do is pray when we come to seeking truth, don't you know that you and I have missed the mark? That means that we are sinning. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
He wants us to trust him. Lord, have mercy. But when you pray, enter into your closet. When y'all have shut the door, pray unto the Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which sees, he sees all things. He knows all things. He knows the desires that you have. He knows your temptations. He knows what you thought about. He knows what you did last night, whether it's good or bad. God knows. But he's trying to get us to see that we need to go to him in secret sometimes. And he will reward us openly. Is that not a good God?
Yes.
It's a beautiful God. Next verse. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do. Pick it up. Jesus, like, I want you to be sure what I'm talking about. So he reiterates or clarifies some things. Don't be like the